Would please to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. You gotta be kidding me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll come to the end of the chapter. It'd do you good to read this when you get home. Read this chapter. I'm reading through 1 Corinthians now. The Lord began to speak to my heart about this in my devotion sometime a few days ago. And I was thinking that He just was giving it to me for me. But I found in the ministry that usually what I'm dealing with, you're dealing with. And what I'm facing, you're facing. What feeds me, feeds you. What deals with me will deal with you. Amen. And I promise you that what I'm going to deal with tonight is going to hit us all. Amen. That's right. So hang on and let's deal with this. My flesh hates this subject. I'm just going to tell you, my flesh despises this subject. And I got news for you. Yours does as well. What subject could it possibly be that all of us, our flesh, hates? And we're going to deal with it, Lord willing. Just simple message, but I believe it's needful. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Please help us, I pray. Lord, help us to be sensitive, God, to the Holy Ghost. Say nothing more, nothing less than, God, that which would honor and please you. Bring to my attention the things that I need to see and say. Help me tonight to preach in power. Lord, allow there to be effectiveness. Souls be saved and the saints of God stirred. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. If you'll keep your Bibles open there. I begin to notice the emphasis through this passage of Scripture. And as most of you know, Paul was noted for using metaphors, which basically is an expression or a sample or an image to illustrate a truth. Well, he would use a soldier many times. He would use a farmer sometimes. Well, in our case here, well, he uses an athlete, a runner. He starts out, but know ye not that they which run in a race. And of course, that analogy is used several times by Paul. Let me reference those, if I may, like Acts chapter number 20, in verse number 24. Paul said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I may, here it comes, may finish my course with joy. There, that statement references a runner, that I may finish my course. Now, sometimes you might be more interested in somebody else's course than you are your course. But he said, I want to finish my course. And then as we look at 2 Timothy 4, Paul's last words, Paul's dying testimony, he said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. So he said, you know, being a Christian involves being a fighter. And then he said, I have finished my course. I read Acts 20:24, where he said that I might finish my course with joy. He was saying that on the starting end of it. Amen. But now he's testifying on the finish end of it. And he said, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And of course he goes on in verse 8. I need to read that. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. Notice that. A crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And of course, there's another verse that you might want to reference, is Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Notice, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we find here that Paul is making reference to a runner running a race. But in that metaphor or that analogy, Paul emphasizes something very important as a necessity if we're going to run. And that is found in, well, it's scattered through here, but look at verse 25. He said, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. That word temperate. Temperance. Self-control. Here's almost a bad word. Discipline. He's telling us in this passage that if we're going to run and we're going to win a prize, that it's going to require discipline. Now, I'm not only interested in what God is doing around here, I am interested in how to keep it. Amen? I'm not interested in just being able to say occasionally, boy, the Lord moved at RBT. I want us to go higher and further and deeper than we've ever been, and not return back to a lower level. Brother Kruchko was with us this morning, a veteran pastor for many, many years. And after the service this morning, he made a beeline up here, and he was tore up. I mean, I could see the goosebumps all on his face and neck as he was telling me, preacher, I see what you've got here. And of course, he comes fairly regular. He says, I see what's going on here. And he said, preacher, you better be on guard. You better be on guard that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Amen. And boy, I told him, I said, preacher, I said, I see what's going on. And I use this word. I said, preacher, I am scared. And he said, you ought to be. See, to be scared is to show I don't have confidence in the flesh. I don't have confidence in me. And we shouldn't have confidence in each other, because we're all potential prospects to mess it up at any given time. Amen. And as we look at this passage of Scripture and how discipline is essential if we're going to gain the prize, if we're going to win in this race, and the lack thereof will prove to be a loss of the prize. To have discipline, you win the prize. Without it, you lose the prize. And I want to preach on this. This Lord really spoke to me about it personally, because it's been so true so many times in my Christian life. I want to preach on defeated by discipline deficiency. defeated. How's our defeat coming into our life? By a deficiency of discipline, a lack of it. Amen. That's right. Now I want to make it very clear, Christians are not running in this race in order to be saved. I want to be very clear with that. Christians are not running in this race to stay saved. We're not running, Brother Rob, in this race of faith to get to heaven. I'd hate to think that my entrance to heaven depended on my running this race. Wouldn't you? Lord of mercy, I'd be in a mess. Brother Tim, I'd be out. I'd be in a mess if my going to heaven depended on my racing, my running the race. Amen? But in these, let me just give you this. This is good. Found out as Paul gave that analogy of this Grecian games or an athlete, I found out that only the citizens could participate. And you know, Paul uses that word in Ephesians, how that we're fellow citizens. And also in Philippians, fellow citizens of the household of faith. Only citizens can run in this race. In other words, you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved in order to be involved in this race. Amen. Lord help us, Jesus. And so, Grecian games, I found this out, and I know this ought to help you. They had rules they had to obey, both in training and in performance. They had rules they had to obey prior to the game and then while involved in the game. Amen. I've never seen such an era of time when people despises rules. They hate them. Amen. And I've made this statement many times, but it's been a long time since I made it. Rules are not for the spiritual. You don't have to have rules and standards at a church for those that are spirit-filled. You have to have them for those that are carnal. And if you don't have them, then your church will fill up with everything in the book. Everything coming and going will eventually filter in to your church. Amen. I'm telling you, it's hard. It really is. It's hard to try to keep your church where it needs to be. That just nearly kills me. Amen. Just to put it mildly. But they had rules in training. Your attitude toward rules. And rules is basically somebody else telling you what to do. Yeah. People hate rules even in training. Well, if you don't like rules, then you're probably not interested in running too well. And of course, rules in the performance. And we'll deal with that later on. And any contestant found breaking those rules, either in training or in performance, was disqualified from the race. And we'll deal with that a little bit later on. Defeat is a discipline deficiency. Every time that I've been defeated, it's been my fault. Every time, not 99%. Every time I've been defeated, it has been my fault and it has come through a lack of discipline in my life. And my flesh hates that word. Now yours may not. You may be that one, but it's just, you know, military to the core. Brother Clipper's like that. He likes that, you know. He has to brush his teeth on time and measure out the toothpaste and all of those kinds of things. Well, I'm not there quite that much, amen? I have a problem with being 24/7, you get that, under discipline. Probably one of the best definitions I ever heard on discipline was by Warren Wiersbe, an author. I'm not going to comment much on that, but I will say his definition was great. Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the best. Now, is that not good? If we don't get nothing tonight out of a message, amen, I'm not interested in putting footprints on the ceiling tonight. I'm interested in us finding out what it's going to take for what happened this week to continue. I'm tired of seeing what looks to be temporary works of God. I want to see somebody get in and go with it. Or as we say often, hit the ground running. And I'm talking about 10 years from today, if they're still alive and Jesus hasn't come back, they're still serving God. Amen. That's what I want. That's what happened to me. I got saved in a revival meeting, and I'm telling you, a lot of people's kicking out. They're not doing much. They don't last long. And that's not the will of God. It is not. Discipline means giving up the good and better for the best. Well, preacher, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Well, is it hindering you? Is it hindering you in the race? Hebrews 12 calls it a weight. And let us lay aside the weight and the sin that does what? So easily. Easily beset us. The word beset means to hinder. Lay aside those things that's hindering you. Where would Rogersville Baptist Temple be spiritually if everybody did that? We think being spiritual, spirit-filled, and having an old-fashioned powerhouse church is real big and complicated, but it's not. It's basically just people laying aside those things. Laying aside means it's your business. You're the one that's supposed to do it. Right. It's your responsibility. Lay aside the weight. Amen? A runner don't run with weights on them. Right. They try to get shed of as much weight and burden and anything that will catch wind, anything that will encumber them, anything that will restrict them in their performance. God said, lay aside every weight, not one or two or a selection, but every weight. Lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Boy, if we'd do that, we'd have revival, and not only have it, we'd keep it. Amen, that's right. I'd hate to know that what God did last week would be short-lived, wouldn't you? That would grieve me to no end. And it will be if we don't act upon it. Revival and spirituality is not automatic. It don't fall out of the sky. And it is not a one-time fix for all. It requires maintenance and attention. Lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. The word patience means endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I want to say that definition again. I want you to get it. I may say it several times more. Because boy, I'm telling you, it just summarizes in one sentence what I'm trying to preach tonight. Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the best. It's not a matter. It's not a matter of is it okay. It's not a matter is it all right or is there a verse of scripture against it. What the question should be is this hindering me of being what God wants me to be? That's what the question ought to be. Is it helping me or is it hindering me? A lot of people, they won't deal with something unless it's got a verse of scripture that says thou shalt not. Amen. You don't have to have a thou shalt not, my friend. You ought to be able to have your eye on your spiritual life to the point you can tell when a restriction and a restraint is in your life. Amen. That could be a number of things. Now, that's a big subject. A number of things could fit under that heading. Amen. If it's hindering you, deal with it. Amen. All right. You did get that definition, didn't you? Discipline means giving up the good and the better for the best. All right. Let's see if you got that. I want to deal with some things if I could. Let's look down through here at these verses of Scripture. A word stuck out to me in verse 24, and then again in verse 25. And I will deal with it a little bit later on, but it's the word obtain. So run that you may obtain. And then in verse number 25, it talks about they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. The first thing I want to talk about tonight in our message, and boy, these are just some things God spoke to me about. The first thing I want to deal with tonight, and I don't expect no shouting tonight, all right? Because this is going to be dealing with the flesh. I promise you that. And that's what the subject, of discipline is about anyway, is dealing with the flesh, keeping it under control. And of course, you know the truth that if self is not under control, it's probably in control. Hello? And I know it's basic and it's elementary what I'm preaching tonight thus far. And the truth is, your greatest enemy is yourself. Your greatest battle is yourself, keeping it under control instead of being in control. Your flesh don't want to be under control. It wants to be in control. That's where rebellion comes from. Rebellion is a testimony. I don't want nobody else controlling me. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Are you listening? And I know we're in a day of fads and fashions. I know that. All kinds of things. And I've lived long enough that I've seen stuff come around full circle several times. Amen. The dress issues. I've seen a lot of that you couldn't have paid somebody to have wore 3 or 4 years ago. It's in now. Amen. And it won't surprise me that in the very near future, them big bell-bottom britches will come back in. Won't surprise me a bit. Because the miniskirts is already here. And the old mop-head beetle, they're both about the same, amen. Except I get more out of a barking beagle than I do the beetles. They're the one that brought that mop-head line to this country anyhow, amen. Hello. And it's still a shame for a man to have long hair. It's what the Bible said, amen. But the truth is, that has always been, everybody that I've ever dealt with on that subject of long hair with men or with boys, it's always associated, always, always, always. Did everybody hear me tonight say always? It's associated with rebellion. Rebellion, that's right. You say, no, it's not, preacher. Well, you deal with them and see if they don't get mad.
Right.
Amen. Nobody going to tell me what to do, amen. Yeah. We're not even on point one yet. Lord help us. Some of you's already getting a poochie lip. I want to deal the first. Notice, let me just give this right here. Look in verse. You say, preacher, what's the Bible definition of discipline? Verse 27 says it, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. There it is. That's what Paul's driving home here, is bringing your body. Hello? Have y'all ever heard me make this statement that there's no such teaching in the Bible of a Christianity that excludes the body? Well, preacher, I don't know if the Bible says anything about the body. It's all the spirit. Well, you need to read your Bible, and you don't have to read it much to see it very clearly.
Amen.
You know, amen. That's right. You're not. You're bought with a price. Be you not servants of men, Goes on to say, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God owns the outside as much as He does the inside, according to that verse of Scripture. Amen. Amen. Coming right out of 2 Corinthians 6, dealing with that whole passage on separation from the world, what fellowship is light with darkness and so on, and comes right on down to the end of it and jumps into chapter 7, verse 1, says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's outward, and the spirit, that's inward, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. That was extra. It was all extra right there. Let me deal with these if I can get done with it. I don't know if I can get done with it or not. Amen. The first thing I want to deal with is the consumption of discipline. The consuming aspect of discipline. What are the boundaries of discipline? Are you with me? It's found very clearly in verse 25. I'm going to read it and see if you identify it. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Whoa, preacher, don't get on that, would you please? The all things category. All means all, and that's all means. Don't ask me to repeat that. All means all. All things. Temperate in all things. Disciplined in all things. Watch this. I'm talking about the consumption, meaning that discipline is to consume your whole life. There's nothing in your life that's outside the boundaries of discipline. Whoop. Help me, Jesus. My flesh hates this preaching. So if you're getting mad, you're probably like me. My flesh don't like it either. The consumption, all things. And I wrote this little statement down. All things includes all areas of life. All areas of life have an impact on my running. And my running has an impact on all areas of my life. Amen? A runner that's a real runner, ladies and gentlemen, running is not first place. Listen carefully now. Running is not first place. It is his life. There's a difference. If it's only first place, then something else is second place. And if something else is second, then something else is third, and another is fourth, and right on down the list. But if it's your life, then there is no second place. All things deals with the consuming aspect of the race. How many of us, listen, I'm talking about, friend, what would bring revival to us and keep it in our life is if our running this race that we're in affects every area of our life. Because the truth is, every area of our life affects our running. It's not what the runner is on the course only. It's not just what he's doing in performance, but there's also the training aspect. Amen. I used to run track, but I can tell you right quickly, it did not consume me. I didn't pay a bit more attention to what things I should or shouldn't eat. Amen. It didn't bother me at all. I didn't do a lot of practicing. I didn't do a lot of training because it didn't matter to me. But it all showed up on race day when I got struck with the fizzle out syndrome. I'd start out like a buzz saw. And I'd be way ahead of the pack, but because that I wasn't what I was supposed to be as a runner in private and in my personal life, it showed up, my friend, in public when I was running out of gas quickly. And then I would watch even the slowest runner go by me like a blaze, a blur. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. I'm talking about the consumption of discipline, all things. The race utilizes every part of our life. What you are on Monday affects your running. What you are and do on Tuesday affects your running. What you do and what you are and where you go and all those things affects you on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday right on down the line. Amen. What you are in daylight hours affects your running. What you are in the dark time affects your running. Amen. What you are in public affects your running. What you are in private affects your running. Amen. I don't know if we're getting that or not, but all things means all things. Covers all areas. The race utilizes every part of the race of your life, I mean. Our running the race should eclipse everything else in our life. I like that word eclipse. How many's ever seen an eclipse? Eclipse of the sun. I've seen one or two in my very short few years. That's amazing, most amazing thing I ever seen. You know, and they tell you not to look at it, but I couldn't help it. You know that when the moon come in front of the sun. Now the sun is several thousands of times bigger than the moon, but yet the moon got in the way of the sun. And it brought about a somewhat of a darkness even during the daytime. The race that we're running should get in front of everything else we do in life and eclipse it. Amen. Everything in life should be eclipsed by the running. The running should be in front and foremost and a place and position. Amen? Amen. It's not about, listen, I'm talking about the consumption now. If I don't preach nothing but just two or three points, that'll be all right. I want you to get it. I want to get it. Because I need it. Did y'all hear the preacher say, I need it? I need it. Amen? Listen. It's not about, it's not just about what I cannot do. Preacher, if I run the race, you mean I can't do this? And I can't do that, preacher? If I run the race, I've got all these standards and rules and regulations and restrictions that I've got to go by? Is that how you look at it? If that's how you look at it, you're not going to be much of a runner. Amen? All things is not about what I cannot do, but it's about what I can do and what I get to do and what I'm committed to doing. Woo, that's good preaching, preacher. Amen. Discipline is not a negative, but a positive. It is not a burden, but a blessing. Get this, this is good. Discipline is both a freedom from something and a freedom for something. God is trying to work discipline in all of our lives so that we can be to a point that we can be a better runner. We get free from these bondages and these things in our life that holds us down and holds us back. Brother Frankie, but God's whole purpose is to get us free from and so we can be free for something. Lay aside those weights and the sin that doth so easily beset us. Why? So we can run with patience. When God puts His finger on things in your life, He's not trying to kill you. When a preacher preaches against things in your life, he's not trying to kill you. He's trying to get you free from something so you can be free for something. Trying to get hindrances out of your life so you can have freedom and liberty to run with patience. The consumption. And I'll deal with this too in passing, that discipline is also outside, an outside and an inside subject. The runner had to be in shape inwardly as well as outwardly. Amen. Number two. We're doing good. The consumption of discipline. Number two, the control of discipline. Discipline is a control issue. And I pointed that out in verse 27. that I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection. That's what discipline is. It's telling your flesh no, even about something good or better, so that you can have the best. Those runners, Brother Brooks, I found out reading and researching, studying up on some of that, that the runner a lot of times would be invited to go out and party or go out and out on the town or go eat or whatever, but to stick with his regiment and stick with his disciplinary plan that will make him the best runner possible. Many times he had to tell people, I can't do that because I've got the best I've got to keep in focus. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't do that because I've got to do this, and doing this is better than doing that. Some of you better get a hold of that. Your life is going to be spent with choices of either doing this or doing that. And you need to know what is the best. Amen. God help us. I'm telling you, I need help in this area. I can tell y'all don't, but I need it. Pray for me. The control of discipline. Self is either in control or it's under control. Listen to this. This is good. Spiritual temperance controls you even when no one is looking. Remember a while ago I talked about, just briefly mentioning it, that discipline is a public and a private matter. Discipline, my friend, is active in your life. Hello. Discipline is active in your life even when nobody is looking, when mom and dad's not around and the preacher's not around and we're not having revival. It's still important. Oh, Lord just brought something to my attention. Let me flip over here. I want to read it to you. You like that terminology? Flip over, turn over. Go to another page. Listen to this right here. Oh, yes. Galatians 5. I'm talking about control. The control of discipline. Galatians 5. Listen, you need to mark this. Galatians 5, 20. What is it, 22? Yep. But the fruit of the Spirit, that is, He's the one that does it. He's the one that puts it forth. He's the one that causes it. He just uses your life for His limbs to bear the fruit on. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Oh, come on. Meekness, and here it is. Temperance. Against such there's no law. I got good news for you and me. That this temperance that we're talking about is the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, if we'll surrender to Him and open our life up to Him to be filled and to be controlled by Him, He will work that in us. It's not what you have to do on your own. I've got to quit this, and I'll tell you I've got to stop that, and I'll just have to work on this. Yes, you are involved, but I'm going to tell you the main source of strength comes from the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit of God is not out to hurt you. Oh, I hope you get that. Boy, the young converts that's not been saved long, I hope you get that. The Spirit of God is not out to hurt you when He deals with you and speaks to you and works on you. And amen, He's trying to get you to the point where you can be the best Christian that you can be. Control of discipline. Consumption of discipline. Number three, the concentration of discipline. The concentration of discipline. Does anybody in here battle with distractions? Oh, help us, Lord. Are you listening, the preacher? The concentration of discipline. And I got a note here, beware of distractions. What are some of the distractions for a runner? Rough places. Whew. Rough places. Uphill. And sometimes going downhill is pretty rough. I get wore out more going downhill sometimes than I do going uphill. Amen? Concentration. Beware of rough places. Beware of the distraction of other runners. Amen? Anybody here run track? Have you got your eyes on other runners? And when you do, you get out of focus of your running? Well, I can't tell you how many times I've lost my joy because I got my eyes on people. Amen. People's going to be people. No matter what part of the planet they live on, they're going to be people. Different colored hair, faces, different accents, different culture, different, but they're still the same. And if you get your eyes on people, God help us, you're going to be messed up on your concentration. Rough places, other runners. Now what would that imply? Seeing another runner do something that's not right, and you feel it's your business to correct them. You know what you have to do? You have to stop your doing to help them, and you're messed up. Yeah. Listen to this. Talking about the concentration of discipline. Amen. What about other runners? Those that's running and doing something wrong. What about runners that's running faster than you are? Anybody ever been distracted by that? Get your eyes on somebody and they're passing you up just whoom, like a train passing up a hobo. I mean, just, and you get looking at them. You know what that does to you? If you're not careful, you'll think, well, why try? Why? My goodness, preacher, if I could be like you or if I could be like somebody else, well, I'd run too. Other runners running faster than you are. What about runners that are running slower than you are? If you're not careful, you get to running faster and you get to going by them, you'll be built up in pride because you think, if I can't do no better than that. And the next thing you know, you're thinking you're it. And the Lord will allow a little something to be in your course down the way. And next thing you know, you've tripped and stumbled and you're laying flat of your face saying, oh God, help me. And then there goes that slow runner by you. Sort of like the, what is that old timey story, the tortoise and the hare or something? Hey man, I don't know why I thought about that. That's been long, many years ago. So that's it. They're running the same race and that rabbit, son, I mean, it was lickety-split, buddy. Whoom! Thinking, man, what, can't you do no better than that? And that turtle just... I don't remember the story real well, but which one won? The turtle. Okay. If that's wrong information, whoever said that's to be blamed, because I don't remember. Okay. Concentration of discipline. The Bible talks about in James 1, verse 6 and 8, about not being double-minded. Hello? That's defeatness, brother. Sister, that's defeatness, big time, being double-minded. Part of your mind's spiritual and the other part's carnal. Double-minded. Double-minded. The actual definition for that double-minded means divided allegiance. You're not serving one master. You're serving two or more. Talking about the concentration, amen, of discipline. Number three, or four, whatever the number is. What number is it? Four. Okay, I don't have them numbered. Number four, I like this one, the crown of discipline. Glory. In other words, it's not in vain to practice and to be interested in this subject. Because there's a crown. There's a crown. He gives that analogy in verse 24 and 25. He said, those that run a race, run all. But notice this. But one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now we all know the racing metaphor that we're talking about here. And of course we can relate to it with track running. Only one person's going to win. And if you're not careful and you look around and you can see a whole lot of people running faster than you are, well, then you know the winner's not going to be you, so why try? But with the race that God has got set up for us, hey, man, it's not one running, or it's not one winning, it's all of us winning. Look at verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain an incorruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Amen? What he's talking about was that everybody in this race can win. Because winning, come on now, winning in this race is not a matter of beating somebody or being better than somebody. That's earthly races. You gotta beat your competitors to get a reward. Or to get the crown, or get the prize, or get the trophy. But in this thing, the race of faith, everybody can win. Wasn't that a blessing? So if that's the case, then me winning doesn't depend on me outdoing you. Or you outdoing me. It's not a matter of who's outdoing who and who's bigger than who and who's better than who. I tell you, we win in this race by honoring the rules and being faithful and being consistent. And not giving up and not quitting. The crown of discipline. Did you notice the crown that these people... Now listen, I don't have time to really get into all of the regiment and the requirements that these runners went through. They were extremely strict with their diet, extremely strict with their sleep habits. They were extremely strict with their daylight hour habits of what they do and didn't do. Extremely strict. But they did all of that strictness for a corruptible crown. If I was there in that day, I'd have said, you think I'm going to quit eating hamburgers and chicken, amen, to get that? You know what I found out? Listen to this. I got it right here. The crown that they were talking about was a corruptible crown. Let me find it right here. It was made, everybody listening? It was made, listen to this, of wild olive, laurel, pine, or ivy. They just go out yonder and cut down some limbs and twist them together, and they wouldn't last long. The leaves would fall off. They would go through this strict regimen of I can't do this and I've got to do this so I can be the best and I can win. And all they're getting is a crown that's got leaves that's only going to last a few hours and it's going to fade and fall away. It's a corruptible crown. It's going to rot, cease to exist. But we're not running our race, Brother Mike, to get some fading, rotting, temporal reward. We're running that we might win an incorruptible crown. Amen? In other words, a crown that fades not away. A crown that in eternity we get to enjoy. A crown that we can lay at His feet. Amen. Well, I thought that was pretty good. Amen? Crown. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you running to obtain? Are you striving for the mastery? Oh, that's getting big right there. That's getting real big right there. How many people are content with just running? They're not interested in winning. They're not interested in winning the prize. They're not interested in winning the crown. They're not interested in doing their best and being their best so they can honor the Savior. Because in the result, according to Revelation, that's what we're going to do with our crowns. We're going to lay them at His feet. You know, later on in the book of Revelation, it talks about our Lord being one with many crowns. Where do you think He got them at? Amen. Very well. I mean, it could very well be, Brother Darrell, that those crowns are the ones that the saved people have won and yield them over to Him and say, Lord, You're the one that's worthy. You're the one that's worthy. You're the one. I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for You. Amen. You're the one that's worthy. Oh, yes. Are we running to obtain? Young people, where do you want to be spiritually in 5 years from tonight if Jesus don't come? Where do you want to be? What do you want to be? Are you running to obtain? Are you in to win? Amen. Striving for the mastery, verse 25. Striving. Wanting to strive and win. Want to win the prize. God said the key element to winning is discipline. Temperance. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I as not as one that beateth the air. You know what He's talking about right there? He said that when I... He said, that's an analogy of shadow boxing. He said, discipline is not shadow boxing, where you're not connecting, where you're not hitting. He said, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not beating the air. He said, I am landing blows to my body and to my flesh, bringing it into subjection. That's what He said. That's what He said. So there's the crown of discipline. It's a matter of faithfulness and not competition. Obeying the rules, not cutting corners, doing our best. Number five, or whatever the next one is, the confidence of discipline. Look at verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Do you see that word? Uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. He's saying there's not an uncertainty about my running. He said there is a certainty about my running. And that word uncertainly means that which is indistinct, uncertain, or obscure. We're not in the dark about the race we're running. We're not in the dark about the prize either. We're not in dark about the course. I'll deal with this maybe a little bit later on. I'll just deal with it now. I read that with these games that there was not only the runners involved, but there was also the one that would herald the rules and herald all of that had to do with the game. Paul likened himself to be both in that latter verse. That's what he had in mind, and he said that I keep under my body, bringing it subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, he said, I've been that herald. He said, I've been that announcer. I've been the one that's preached the rules. You can't hardly find a preacher that's preaching any kind of standards. I'll be honest with you. I got a call today from a pastor in North Carolina. He said, preacher, he said, I want to ask you a question. I'm not going to go into details of it. But he said, I want to ask you a question. He said, I'm dealing with something in my church. And it's a standard issue. It's a sin issue. And he said, preacher, as you travel, you travel and you preach and you've been in this thing a long time. He said, how many preachers do you know that's preaching on separation? Of course, he got more specific. He was specifically referring to dress standards. And I said, preacher, I said, I'm just guessing. I said, I may could think of more. I said, I probably could think of 10. I'd have to think hard on that, but I figured surely I could give the benefit of the doubt of some of the preachers that I know that are still holding the line on that. I said, I probably could think of 10. There may be more. He said, preacher, that's what I thought. And he said, because there's a lack of it, those that are doing it looks like heathens. Those that are doing it looks like the oddball. I said, I know. I know what you're saying. Amen. I know what you're saying. But there is the confidence of discipline. We know what we're running. We know why we're running. We know who we're running for. The confidence. He even started out, verse 24 says, "Know ye not?" Basically saying by that statement, hey, church at Corinth, you're not in the dark about this race. Because I have preached to you about it. RBT, you're not in the dark about this race. You know about this race. Amen. Because I've preached to it. I've preached you the race. I've preached to you the course and things that God asks out of you. And I want to say this based on that right there. I don't know of anything that I've ever preached from this pulpit or any other pulpit for that matter that would make you less of a Christian, that would hinder you in your running if you obeyed. Amen. But I can tell you hundreds, probably more than that, if we could sit down and just think, that wouldn't line up with the preaching, and they never amounted to much in their race. I'm really alarmed by it, to be honest with you. I'm alarmed in my heart at how many young people and young married couples and young families that have no drive in them to want to obtain and strive for the mastery. They're content with just sitting on a church pew a few services a month. Amen. Not interested in getting involved. They're not interested in the rules. They're not interested in the course standards. They're not interested in those things. They're not interested in requirements. They're not interested in the prize. What about that? And I'm alarmed. Listen, it's not just here. Of course, we've got a few that's young people that's really getting serious, you know, or seem like wanting to serve God, wanting to do the will of God, wanting to run the race that is set before them. Amen. When Blake was born, we laid him on the altar when he was just a little squirt, and I'm going to tell you, we gave him back to God. And that still holds true today. We gave him to God, and my chief objective, my chief desire and prayer is that my son serves God in whatever capacity that the Lord would see fit for that to be in. I mean, he's sitting here. I preach to him at the house. I preach to him in church. Amen. I'll preach to your children. I will preach to mine. And I promise you I'm not near as rough and hard on yours as I am mine. Blake should have said amen right there. But I'm not the least bit interested in just having a good son that comes to church. And that is a blessing, though. But that's not it. I want him to strive for the mastery. I want him to run to obtain. I want him to be in this race and his life count for something. If you're not interested in being something, then you will ignore the rules and you don't care about the prize or the race. Discipline will not be a part of your life. You'll go days without reading the Word of God. You will go days without praying if the race don't mean nothing to you. But if you want to do something for God and be something for God, amen, and make a mark while you go through this course of life, make a mark for Jesus, then guess what? You won't fight discipline as much. Well, talk about the confidence, and last of all, I'll close with this. I want to talk about the castaway. The castaway of discipline, or the castaway of the lack of discipline. Verse number 27, Paul talked about the lack of it. But I keep under my body, bringing it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not trying to twist the scripture to make it line up with Baptist doctrine, but that word castaway is not an issue of destiny. Keep in mind, we're not running this race to get to heaven. We're running this race, my friend, to win the prize. To win the prize. And Paul said, when I have preached to others, I've been the herald, I've been the announcer, I've been the instructor, I have stood and I have told other runners, this is what the race involves and this is what the rules are. But he says, after I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And the word castaway just simply means disapproved or disqualified. Disqualified for what? The prize. Amen. Disqualified for the reward. In fact, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message tonight, the citizen, citizens were only the ones that could participate. Even though they become disqualified and disapproved, their citizenship was still intact. They were still citizens. Amen. But the thing was, they were disapproved and disqualified for the reward. Amen. Let me give you another illustration of this. It just came to my mind. I remember preaching it, if I can find it right quick. Let's see if it's where it's at here. 2 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 1. And it talks about adding to your faith. Remember that passage of Scripture? Add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and right on down the line. And then it says, for if these be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten his purged from his old sins. Listen to this statement right here. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And listen to this statement right here. We're not doing that list, Brother Mike, to get saved or to stay saved. We're doing this list for this purpose. If you have these things in your life, you'll never fall. Verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Not just an entrance. Okay, preacher, you got to do this in order to get there. That's not it. An abundant entrance. And they had the idea of those, the soldiers that went to a field and fought a war and they won the war. They were what they were supposed to be and they stood their ground and they won the victory and they come home and they receive an abundant entrance. So it is, we're running not to go to heaven. We're running that we might have that abundant entrance, that we might have the reward, that we might have the prize, that we might have the crown. Amen. So Paul says, even after being saved a long time, he said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know what that tells me, Brother Rob? There's no place to let up. No matter how long you've been saved, there's no place to relax. Or coast. You're going to have discipline in your life constantly, or it's never going to work. Amen? Every runner possesses the potential of becoming a winner. And every runner possesses the potential of becoming a castaway. Amen? I tell you what I'm scared of. I'm scared of the chef. That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of the chef. What do you mean, the chef? Becoming disapproved, becoming disqualified for the race and winning a prize, and God putting me on the chef. Amen. I don't want that. I don't want to be put on the chef. I want to serve God till I die. In fact, you've heard me make the statement, and I mean it. If something happened that I couldn't preach the Word of God, I'd just soon be dead. Because I live to preach. It's my life. I live to preach. I don't preach to live. I live to preach.